The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk, insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, that was a much-needed game and performance from the Bucks. I've used the terminology of get-right game quite a bit of late here, and for the most part, that's what we saw from the Bucks tonight. It was not a wire-to-wire win, but you led for 45 of the 48 minutes, basically. And I know the Raptors made it closer than you would have hoped for. You led by 33 at one point. They got it down to one. I think 12 was the closest they got in that fourth quarter. But the Bucks did not allow it to get any lower. And look, on paper, the 76ers win is their best win of the season. But in terms of optics and how they looked, and for the most part, because not everything was cleaned up, but for the most part, cleaning up a lot of the problematic areas that we have talked about for quite a while now, this was their best win. And this offensive performance that we saw tonight, certainly long overdue. It feels great to see Damian Lillard look like Damian Lillard as well. Now, it's without Giannis, and you know, we heard from Dame when he caught up with Dave after the game. It's just going to take time, and I've already seen a lot of people, well, look at how much better the ball moves without Giannis. I think we've seen from both of these guys. Giannis, with the previous three games that he played, that stretch, basically saying, we're still figuring it out. Me and Dame sharing the floor, figuring out how do we do this? Where does Dame like to play? Where does Dame like to get the ball? Vice versa. But I think what you essentially saw in those three games, and I know Giannis didn't have Dame in all of those, but what you essentially saw was Giannis saying, look, we're still figuring this out. In the meantime, we got to win. I'm just going to take over here. And that was kind of the same that we saw from Dame tonight. No Giannis, okay, I'm just going to go back to what I know how to do, and that is create my own shot and the playmaking that we saw from Dame. It was great to see him knock down four threes on 10 attempts. It was great to see him shoot 50% from the field, but his playmaking ability, his passing ability, it may be severely underrated, and I think you saw a lot of that tonight, and where this offense can eventually get to. We mentioned on Bucks Weekly last night, ever since that Raptors game, the last time they played, when you started with the Knicks game on, November 3rd, starting with that game, the Bucks had the 15th rated defense in the league. For where they're at now, for the absence of Drew Holiday, 15th, I'm fine with. It can continue to get better. If you tell me, hey, they're going to finish 15th, and maybe they gradually bump it up going into the playoffs. In the playoffs, you think you can get better as well, but 15th, just finish in the top half. That's fine, because I think you saw some glimpses tonight, albeit without Giannis, of what this offense is going to start to look like as they get those reps and they get that chemistry and more comfortable with one another. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll take your calls and your texts. And, you know, look, I'm not going to single anything out. There was a lot of ridiculous discourse that had started to infect Bucks fans, Bucks social media, all of the channels the last couple of days. I'm curious where that's at now. Not to say one game solves anything, but I think a lot of us jumped the gun on a lot of assumptions and rushing to judgment 10 games into the season, because look, it's not going to be 15. It's not going to be 20. It's going to take some time, and I'm going to say that on every single show, until we get to the point that we're past the midpoint of the season and we've seen no growth. I'm going to keep saying this is going to take time. It's not going to be a 20-game fix. As Adrian Griffin said, it's not a snap your fingers and it's solved. This is going to be a lengthy process, but now in the last seven games, you're starting to see some encouraging things. Not to say everything is cleaned up, but it's starting to move in the right direction. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on tonight's show. Get to a couple of calls that are trickling in. Get your thoughts on what we saw tonight in Toronto. We finally got to see the Damian Lillard we envisioned getting. We'll take your reactions next on Bucks Talk. Bucks beat the Raptors in Toronto, and they're 7-4. Despite the sky falling, despite the Bucks making a number of mistakes, and who they hired, what they were doing on both ends of the floor, whatever it was you chose to buy into. And look, it is not anywhere near the finished product. There is still a lot of work to be done. There's still a ways to go here. You still have to see this work. Work's probably the wrong word, because I think we all assume it's going to work. But you still have to see this type of game with Giannis and Dame on the floor. You still have to fix your rebounding. Now, not having Giannis was a part of it tonight. I don't know that I'd even say a big part, because this has been problematic for the team all season. Not having Giannis played a role. And look, if you're just looking at the raw rebounding numbers, the Raptors missed more shots than the Bucks did. A lot more in terms of their shooting percentage. So theoretically, the Raptors should have more rebounds if they're a good rebounding team, because they're going to have more opportunities. They shot 39%. The Bucks shot 52%. But it's still, I'm going to say, unacceptable to give up 26 offensive rebounds. They've given up 48 offensive rebounds in two games to the Raptors. Like, that has to change. Your transition defense has to get better. I said it looked better tonight, but you got to keep building on it. There's still work the Bucks need to do. There's still things they need to improve. But it is nowhere near as dire as you would be led to believe if you were looking to certain circles here. 855-616-1620. Let's head out to the phone lines and talk with Will.i.am. You kick off the show. What's going on, Will?
Hey, Justin. How are we doing tonight, man?
No complaints.
Hey, same here, man. I got three quick points. First off, wow. The starting five tonight, from looking at the little Bucks app, were plus 108. I know a lot of people like to get nerdy behind the statistics. And when you see everyone getting double digits in that plus-minus box, you know, even if you didn't see the game, it is still refreshing, because we're going and progressing in that right way, as well as having Dame be the man that we all know he is, seven-time All-Star, lighting it up. And also making a presence, being, you know, a playmaker as well. Also allowing Mr. Beasley to get a nice three-point array going, hitting eight of them. So huge. I know everyone's been waiting kind of to see the three-ball explosion, and that was a major plus. And my last 2 points, you got to respect the rotations tonight. The bench rotations, the minutes that they were given to Bobby and Cam, and then obviously Mr. Jackson here, you know, he is under the right wing of Bobby Portis, man. He is just, like you said, a little, you know, the extra push that we need in these games that really shows. It doesn't show in the box score, but, man, you get him in there, he changes the game. And like you said, Justin, we're brand new to this sports car. We're trying to figure it out, getting it in gear. Again, I don't really care what the social media says. I think it's always just humor. But this team is finally progressing upwards. Obviously, the rebounding needs work. But when you get ball movement like that, and when we do crash the boards, man, we can't be stopped, I don't think.
Do you know how to drive stick shift?
I try to, yes. Oh. It took a bit.
Okay, so
I got it, yes.
No, that's the analogy I would have used with your reference to, you know, the Bucks finally have this sports car and they're figuring out how to drive it. Like, if you've never driven stick shift before, I still don't know how, but I remember going through that as a 16-year-old. And yeah, it's you know what? I give up on this. Just give me automatic transition. And that's kind of where the Bucks are at right now.
You can't hate it, man. And the best part about this is they're making the steps going forward. Obviously, traditionally, from what I've been doing research on, Dame hasn't started the best. But to see him finally gel when we really needed him to tonight, when Giannis was not in the lineup, gives you that hope that, hey, this is just, you know, a little phase, a little funk. But once he really starts getting going with Giannis on the floor, go Bucks, baby. Let's go.
Yeah. Thanks, Will. And we'll catch up again down the road here. But, yeah, it's I think I talked about this somewhere else, too, where the learning to drive stick shift is one way to look at it. The other thing is, you know, when we've continually pointed out this whole thing is going to take time, the way that I would view it, and we saw some glimpses of it tonight when it was just Dame. We saw Dame take over in the fourth quarter against the Knicks. He did it against the Sixers, obviously, as well, and probably his most memorable one. But I think in those moments, you've seen Giannis basically concede and say, all right, you take us home. The previous three quarters, it's still a feeling out process and figuring out, you know, how do we do this? Because you'll hear Adrian Griffin talk about film study and practice per se, although there's a difference between the practice you go through now and what you're doing in camp, right? Like, especially in a week like this where the Bucks have four games. And then next week, you got a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. So you got another four-week game. And, oh, by the way, there's Thanksgiving in that week, too, that it eats into. In fact, during travel, the amount of road games the Bucks have this month, it eats into the amount of actual practice you can do. A lot of times, it's just walkthrough. Like, you're not doing five-on-fives and intense practices at this point in the season. You only get a chance to do that a couple of times once games get started. But the way to think about it is, so let's go back to our youth. You're in school. You don't move, but you get uprooted to a different school. So now all of a sudden you've got to learn new teachers. What's our team's fight song? Like, what are the colors and what is our mascot here? I ride the new bus and I got to figure out the bus schedule. I got to figure out where my classes are and all this stuff. All of it has changed. Some of us have gone through that. And you just kind of lean on, okay, well, I still have the constant of my best friend lives down the street, so we'll still hang out outside of school. Your best friend moves a week before the school year starts. So now you're off on your own, learning this new school, this new system, all of it, and a lot of that constant is gone. That was Jrue Holiday, right? That's gone. And you got Giannis and Chris that you can lean on and Brooke, sure. But there's all these moving parts that it's not just as easy as NBA 2K where it's, I just traded for Dame Lillard, so it's your turn to shoot here and now just run the pick and roll and get it to Giannis. Like, it's familiarity, it's comfort, it's chemistry, and it's going to be finding things that don't work too and saying, look, we tried this didn't work as we planned, let's move on to something else. That's why that first game against the Sixers, we saw immediately the Bucks running some of those pieces of comfort for Damian Lillard, where you run the horn set and you just start spamming it, that it was Giannis and Brooke, or Giannis and Bobby, or Brooke and Bobby, that would both go out there near midcourt, set the screen so you get Damian Lillard matched up on a big on either side, whichever one he chooses, going downhill. And then we saw him kind of drift away from that. A lot of that had to do with, well, the offense itself hasn't really been great and hasn't been organized. But there's some of these things that we just, well, this will work. We don't know that, and we got to see it. And, you know, I'm going to keep going back to 2021 in that it wasn't pretty early in 2021 either. And look, the big difference is prior to this game, and this will go a long way. I don't know about a long way. This will go a ways in changing it. But, you know, coming into this, the Bucks still had a negative net rating. In 2021, the record wasn't great, but they had a couple of blowouts. And you looked at it and thought, okay, I see what this is supposed to be. And at least I'm seeing some good wins. There's been some, man, I didn't expect that. But their ceiling early was much higher than it's been so far. That, if you want to criticize anything and say, I don't know about this, that's the one thing that I could say, okay, fine, if you have some reservations. But it's not going to be fixed overnight. It's not as simple as saying, well, it didn't you know, hit the ground running in 2021 either, because there are some other things that you need to examine this year and say, well, I don't know about this. Maybe we need to pay more attention to this. Maybe this needs more work. But the point is, it's never quite as seamless when you have as much disruption and change as this team has gone through. And 2021, why I mention it is not that the Bucks won a title that year, but 50% of their roster was new. You traded for Drew Holiday. Bobby Portis was on the team that year. DJ Augustine was your backup point guard for half of the season. There was a lot of change going into that season. And it took time to sort that out. And with that, the Bucks had to adapt and change how they did things. Their defense changed as well. They implemented more switching, and they kind of leaned on Drew and said, well, if this is what you're comfortable doing, fine, we'll do this. And it went out of Mike Budenholzer's comfort zone and what we had seen the defense traditionally do. But that's all stuff that you need actual game reps to do that. It's just 11 games. It's not enough of those game reps, but we're starting to see some things moving forward. And look, it's not the greatest competition. I recognize that. But as we've said the last few shows, sometimes that's what you need. Just grab some of that low-hanging fruit. And aesthetically, tonight was much better. It may not be, hey, well, the Bucks are beating up on some pretty good teams. We should take them seriously. Not great teams, sure. But we kind of reached the point where, all right, we just got to see it and start to build on that confidence. And I think that's what we saw tonight for sure. Their best win start to finish of the season. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on Bucks Talk. More of your reactions to what we saw, the revenge game in Toronto. I mentioned the defense and how that's looked differently the last seven games. Again, not to say everything has been corrected, but there's some things that stand out, specifically Brook Lopez. We'll get into that next on Bucks Talk. A near wire-to-wire win for the Bucks tonight, who again trailed in the early going. Raptors were up 8-2, and it was, a 17-0 run, I think, after that, that propelled the Bucks to a double-digit lead. The Raptors' last lead was when it was 8-5, just over 3 minutes into the game. So you basically led this one for 45 minutes, and it was dominant throughout the second and third quarter, jumping out to a 33-point lead. So in terms of the optics and feel-good wins, this is the best one you've had so far this season. And again, you know, I said long overdue at the top of the show, but this just felt like offensively, yeah, this is what I expected to see. The ball was moving. I know Adrian Griffin talked after the Bulls game about, yeah, we got stagnant at times. That's not throwing it on Giannis or anybody, but I think that resonated as well. And you saw what ball movement did in this first half with Dame Lillard scoring 24 points at the half and 8 assists. 6 of them were on 3-pointers. It's 22 points off of assists that he accounted for. So between he and Malik Beasley, I think it was 62 points when you look at their points and the Dame assists. Of the 70 first half points came from that duo. Now, I mentioned if we just go back and look at everything after the first matchup between these two teams, it at least looks better for the team. And look, we're going to probably constantly point out rebounding and transition. And I think the two are related because, you know, I mentioned this somewhere else, but early on, in Mike Budenholzer's tenure, the Bucks did not crash the offensive boards. They got back in transition. That was the edict. And it was team-wide. Nobody was freelancing. Nobody had the, hey, you know, do whatever you want. If you think you can get there, go there. If not, get back in transition. It was, no, we're getting in transition. And we're going to try to prevent those easy looks in transition and try to boost our defensive rating. In 2021, you gradually started to see more offensive rebounding. Last year, you saw a lot more where that started to shift towards we're going to crash the glass. We got Brooke, we got Bobby, we got Giannis. We're going to crash the offensive boards. And again, team-wide, Drew Holiday too, a guard that can rebound very well. Team-wide, this is what we're going to do. We have heard, and look, I'm obviously not practicing with the group that I can't tell you, and in film session, this is what it is. But just based off what we've heard from Adrian Griffin in post games, and some of the questions he'll get prior to the game, it's kind of been, we got to do one or the other. So you can't get caught in between. You either go get the rebound or you get back in transition. And if that's the message, it's going to lead to a lot of ambiguity, and it's going to lead to a lot of the in-between. I think we'll eventually get there. But it's got to be a clear, no, we're doing this. It's we're doing this or we're doing this. It's not, hey, whichever one you think you can pull off. Because when you're caught in the in-between, what that does, you go after a long rebound that you're not going to get. It takes one pass to beat you. They're down the floor. They have the numbers. If it's we're not tracking down offensive rebounds, we're getting back in transition, you know, as soon as the shot leaves your hands, all right, I'm getting back. And I think that's where the Bucks have kind of been victimized here. They've fallen into that in-between. Now, it's not all that. You don't give up 26 offensive rebounds just because we're not sure what to do in transition. There's more to it than that. And again, Andre Jackson Jr. is one of those guys that just knows where to be. He does those little things. You saw him again tonight. First couple of possessions of the game. Andre Jackson Jr. is there for an offensive rebound. Andre Jackson Jr. is there to seal out and box out. Those are the things this team has missed. Brooke Lopez is contesting shots. There's no cleanup. You know, you got a team rebound, and we just have not seen that. This team was dominant on the glass for 5 years. I have a hard time believing that's just gone now. It'll get there, but that's one of those things that's going to take time, and it's part of the philosophical changes that this team has been dealing with. But if we look at overall here, including this game tonight, the Bucks have a 115.1 offensive rating. That is seventh best in the NBA. Now, I thought for sure the Bucks would be a top three offense. When you got Dame, you got Giannis, you got Malik Beasley and his 8 3-pointers that he made tonight. Chris Middleton's the third option. Brooke Lopez can score 20. I thought they'd be higher than seventh, but you're still top 10, close to fifth. Denver Nuggets have the fifth best offense in the league right now. The teams in front of you are the Hawks, the Nuggets, the 76ers, the Celtics, and then no surprise, the Mavericks and the Indiana Pacers. Seventh offense, it'll get better. You can live with that. Defense is where the problem obviously has come from. Right now, the Bucks have the 24th rated defense in the league. Now, there is some bright spots on the horizon, and those bright spots are this. Friday night, you go to Charlotte. You play the Hornets, who are 3-7, who have a defensive rating over 120, 30th in the NBA. Saturday night, it's a back-to-back. But the Dallas Mavericks come to town. The Dallas Mavericks have a defensive rating of 120. Or excuse me, of 116, also behind you. And then next week you have two games with the Washington Wizards, who have a 117 defensive rating, 27th in the league. So the next three games the Bucks have are against the 30th, the 25th, and the 27th rated defense. Four of the next five, if you include the second matchup with the Wizards, which is next week, another in-season tournament game. Oh, by the way, you have the Boston Celtics in that mix as well, who we mentioned have the third best offense and the second best defense in the league. But 24th defensively, not where you expect it to be. The silver lining is it has looked much better once we saw that recognition from Adrian Griffin and saying, look, if this is what the guys want to do, if this is what they think they're best suited to do, let's do it. That started with the Knicks game when we saw Brooke Lopez play back in that familiar drop. And look, this is not counting the game from tonight, but coming into tonight, Bucks had the 15th best defense and the 12th best offense. So we saw the offense regress a little bit, but finish in the top half. That's the important part. Brook Lopez, we mentioned, playing in that familiar drop that we've seen him the last 5 years, statistically has been unbelievable in these last seven games. We'll give you the number that jumps out the most after this on Bucks Talk. All right, so an update to those numbers since the Knicks game, November 3rd. The Bucks have an offensive rating just under 117. 116.7. That is 10th best in the league. Their defensive rating is 114, which is 14th best. And a net rating of 2.7. Not great in what we've seen this team post in the past, but still 10th. So your top 10 in two of those three ratings categories. And again, the level of competition plays a role in that. But you just got to start to see it. And, you know, by the way, when we mentioned where the Bucks are defensively at 114, they're not that far off from a handful of teams, from really starting to crack the top 10. The Grizzlies are 113.8. The Knicks are 113.1. The Suns are 113. And then right now, 10th is the Chicago Bulls at 112.8. So you're basically 1 point per 100 possessions away from the top 10 defensively. I recognize it hasn't been great offenses, at least not all of them. You did play the Indiana Pacers in that mix. But it's looked much better. And the same can be said for the offense as well. 10th overall from that stretch. But really the same that we've seen, that they're 1 point per 100 possessions away from being in the top five, just a little over 1 point per. So it matches the eyeball test of, look, I'm not going to say if you had somebody new to the NBA who just dropped in to watch a handful of games these last, 2 weeks, 10 days, and said, all right, examine these and tell me who you think the best three teams, five teams in the league are. I don't think you would come away with the Milwaukee Bucks. But they wouldn't be the worst. And those first four games, it was, man, why do I feel like this is a bad team right now? That's where they were. So they've started to dig out of that hole. And, you know, in terms of the net rating, what we've seen from the Houston Rockets, they lead the league in net rating from that that point of November 3rd. Then you have the usual suspects, the Timberwolves, who, by the way, have been incredibly good, unbeaten in that stretch. The Denver Nuggets. The Rockets are unbeaten in that stretch, too. Denver Nuggets are... That's your top three, the Rockets, the Timberwolves, and the Nuggets. But the Rockets are running away with it in those last five games for them. The Boston Celtics are in that mix. The Indiana Pacers, because of their offense. Philadelphia 76ers are up there. So it's the usual suspects. And that's why, you know, this checks out. I know it's a small sample, but it's not telling me, whoa, outside of the Houston Rockets, whoa, why is this saying this in terms of who's performing the best and who are your best teams. So subtle signs that it is getting better here for this Bucks team. And again, you just need that confidence. You just need to piece some of these together, even if it's a team that is flawed on the offensive end and you should take steps forward defensively. The fact that you're doing it is step number one, because we weren't seeing that in the first four games. I promise the Brook Lopez number. I will share that with you after this on Bucks Talk. All right, so that stretch by Brook Lopez, 27 blocked shots that Brook Lopez has had in the last seven games. So again, it all started with that Knicks game when Brook blocked eight shots. And the bookend is seven blocked shots tonight against the Toronto Raptors. So 27 blocks in a seven-game span. He has done that now four times in his career. The last time he did it was towards the end of the season last year when he blocked 29 shots over seven games from March 9th to March 24th. The year prior, he blocked 27 shots over 27 games or over seven games. And three years prior to that, his first year in Milwaukee, same thing. 27 block shots over seven games. So just the fourth time we've seen this from Brook Lopez. So any questions over, I don't know, has Brook lost a step? He still is a very effective rim protector. And I think the fact that he's now done something he had only done three times prior in his career speaks to that. It was more about what you were asking him to do. And for Adrian Griffin, again, we talked about this at the time. But for Adrian Griffin to wait as long as he did to get a head coaching job, to go through the interview process 14 times, and for four games in to say, okay, this is what I wanted to do, this is the system I wanted to run, it may not work, or at least not yet, and not with this group. So I'm going to bend, and I'm going to say, all right, let's do what this group is comfortable with. We're still going to introduce some of these other things, but for you specifically, Brooke, it works best if you do this. I'm willing to concede that. Let's go with that. For first-time coach, it's not just coaching. It's any job that you have. Think about getting that chance and having your ideas and your blueprint of this is what I envision doing, finally getting that opportunity to turn it loose and then come into the realization of maybe not yet. It's tough for any of us to do because you give it up now, who knows if you'll get that control back. It's one of the things you have to grapple with. So to me, for Adrian Griffin to bend on it that early and say, listen, this is what's going to help us most. This is what's going to make us a better team. It doesn't close the door on playing the way that he fully wants to play. But for him to say, I'm gonna give a little on this, I think it speaks a lot about Adrian Griffin. So the fourth time in Brook Lopez's career, he has 27 or more block shots over a seven-game stretch. That is what he has done since that Knicks game on November 3rd, and since we saw him back in that comfort zone of the drop defense. We'll wrap up the show and take a look at what's up next. The in-season tournament returns. It's the Bucks and Charlotte to take on the Hornets. We'll preview the matchup after this on Bucks Talk. 16-point win for the Bucks in Toronto. A near wire-to-wire win. And 67 combined points from Giannis and from Damian Lillard and Malik Beasley. 37 from Dame, 30 from Malik Beasley. Up next, another group play game in the in-season tournament. Friday night in Charlotte against the Hornets. And look, for your in-season tournament primer, a couple of things stand out already. We'll get to Group B in the East, which is where the Bucks reside. But in the West, Group A, we already know one team that won't win it, and that is the Memphis Grizzlies, who are 0-3 in the in-season tournament, so they're out of it. The Lakers and Jazz are tied in that group at 2-0. Each team plays four games, and point differential is going to determine the tiebreakers if it's not anything that can be determined by head-to-head. So how much you win by is going to be important. In Group B, another interesting one, the Denver Nuggets lead it at 2-0, that after beating the Los Angeles Clippers last night. The Rockets are 1-0, the Pelicans are 1-1, Mavericks and Clippers are likely both done. Mavs are 1-2, Clippers are 0-2. In Group C in the West, the Timberwolves are 2-0, the Kings are 1-0, and again, the Spurs and Thunder are basically done as well at 1-2 and 0-2. So on to the Bucks group. Bucks have only played one game. The Miami Heat have played two games. So the Bucks group is the Heat, the Hornets, the Knicks, and the Wizards. You beat the Knicks. Bucks, Knicks, those are the only two teams in the group that have only played one game thus far. The Wizards are 0-2. You have your group play game against the Wizards 1 week from Friday, and that's at home. You should win that game. It's going to come down to point differential, and it may come down to that final game, November 28th in Miami. So If you can take care of business Friday night and beat the Charlotte Hornets, you will be 2-0. The Miami Heat do not play on Friday night. So you would be tied record-wise with the Miami Heat. You have a point differential of 5, beating the Knicks by 5. The Miami Heat have a point differential of 7. If you win, you'll at least have a point differential of 6. So if you win by 3, you'll be in first place. As I mentioned, you should beat the Washington Wizards the following week. Should being the key word there. That it really is set up for that game in Miami, November 28th, to determine who wins Group B between the Bucks and the Heat. Now, if the Knicks win out as well, that could complicate things even more so, because they would then beat the Miami Heat, and the Bucks would skate to a victory. Even if they lost, you would have a three-way tie, and it would come down to point differential. So, look, it's one of those things that maybe coaches don't love, but fans are going to love. Blowouts are going to be important. And it's more than likely you're going to have to finish at least 3-1 to win your group. And you can still get in as a wild card as well. The team that finishes second with the best record to not win their group, will be that wild card team from the conference in advance to the knockout round the first week in December out in Las Vegas. Friday night, 6 o'clock tip from Charlotte. It's the Bucks and the Hornets. 5:30 is when our pre-game coverage begins. And as always, we'll have the extended post-game show, Bucks Talk, immediately after the game. My thanks to everybody for tuning in and interacting with the show tonight. To Matt Sossler for producing as well. We will talk to you Friday night with more Bucks Talk.